Let's come before the Lord and ask a blessing on his word. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are the God of hope. And we pray now as we look at this idea, this concept, the Lord, that we may be encouraged to keep living out that hope in our lives and sharing that hope with those around us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope. Lots of meanings people have about the word hope. Hope has been written about as one of the finest responses of which the human spirit is capable. But what is hope? When we think about hope in our culture, we can think about wishful thinking. A lot of people use the word hope, hopefully, as if by just saying the word hope, somehow things will get better. We use expressions such as hope springs eternal in the human heart, or where there is life, there is hope. And that even echoes in the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 9, verse 4, he writes, anyone who is among the living has hope. The problem with hope as we understand it today, that it is, in one sense, a meaningless expression. I hope things improve for you. I hope you get better. I hope so. But all this is simply veiled optimism. What is the basis of this sort of hope? Well, in some ways, it's human feelings or an encouragement to have positive thoughts. If you think positively and speak positively, then things will just get better. But this sort of hope disappoints in the end because it's only based on feelings, on a word, nothing at all. Christian hope avoids feelings, or at least trusting in them as some infallible guide that will somehow deal with the problems around us. Christian hope is found on someone. Who is that someone? It is the Lord Jesus. Christian hope is found on an event. What is that event? Well, God's redemptive act in and through Christ, in his birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, reign, and return. Christian hope is certain and sure because it's based in the character of God. We rely on God's trustworthiness. Christian hope is sure and certain because it's based on God's word, because God doesn't lie. Christian hope is certain and sure because it's based on a real person, the Lord Jesus. Christian hope is certain and sure because of the historical reality of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Christian hope is not wishful thinking or having certain feelings. However, Christian hope also makes us realize that our current condition, the world that we live in, is not the ideal situation. This world is affected by sin. This world is fallen and broken. This world, as we know it, has a use-by date. It will end. But only God knows the date. But we are a hopeful race, are we not? We always hope for the best. And we can see this hope on New Year's Eve. Every New Year's Eve we gather together as a world nearly. We look forward to bringing in the new year with the fireworks. And what do? We hope that the new year will be better than the last for us and the world. But it never is. But we hope against hope. The Christian hope is that one day Jesus Christ will return and then a new era will begin. A new era that will fulfill all the hopes that people have ever had over the many New Year's Eves that have proven disappointing. The Christian hope is sure and certain. But I want to take a little bit of a little tour through the Bible before we look at Romans chapter 5, and I'll be focusing on verses 1 to 5 when we look at that. In the Old Testament, hope was expressed in waiting and looking for God to act. Waiting on the Lord was not about spending, some time just doing nothing, but rather was an attitude of trust, knowing that somehow your trust in God would be vindicated. In fact, that your hope in God would actually sustain you and encourage you. Isaiah says this in chapter 40, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." God promises that those who hope in him will experience renewal and revival. Our hope is never disappointed if our hope is in God. Hope, the word hope may not actually be mentioned within the Old Testament, but it does come to expression in the lives of the Old Testament saints. Take, for example, Abraham, who was called to trust God and to trust in the promise of God of a son. He had to wait in hope. It's true, he was tempted to carry out God's promise in his own way by taking Hagar, Sarah's maid, as a concubine, but that ended in a mess. The Apostle Paul still uses Abraham as an example of hope. In Romans 4, he says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, so shall your offspring be." Abraham had to wait 25 years before the promise was fulfilled at the age of 100. But his hope was not disappointed. It was vindicated, validated. At times in the Old Testament, while we wait on God to act, our hope can sometimes be challenged. It can be challenged through time, as Abraham was, or it can be challenged through suffering. Some suffering can actually make us cling on to the hope that God has given us. Because we cling on to God's character, God's word, that he cannot lie. The psalmist faced many difficult situations, from suffering at the hands of his enemies to being afflicted with some sort of disease to being depressed. But in every situation, it led him to hope in the God for the future. Psalm 42 verse 11 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." God for the psalmist was greater than his suffering, greater than his pain, and greater than his circumstances. The psalmist points us, as the reader, to the God who gives hope in the midst of darkness and distressing time. Where do you go for your hope? The psalmist goes to God, and he encourages us to do the same. He is the God that we can call on, knowing that he will answer his people. Psalm 120 verse 1 says, "I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me." So Abraham had to wait, but his hope was vindicated. The psalmist, whatever he's going through, continues to lead us to continue to trust and hope in God. There's another example in the Old Testament of hope, and that's Job. Job lost everything except his wife. He struggled to understand why all this was happening. He had friends who were poor comforters. He had to deal with their constant pressure to confess some sin, any sin, because they were convinced that he had sinned, and that was the reason for his troubles. "It's your sin, Job, and all you have to do is confess it, and your troubles will go away." Is it that easy? That was the only hope that his friends gave him. With all this pressure on him, no wonder he felt as if he had no hope. In Job chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope." But like the psalmist, he stopped focusing on his situation, stopped focusing on his friends, and focused on God, who can give renewed hope. And in Job 19, he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself was seeing with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." There's real hope. No matter what we're going through, we have hope in the God who is our Redeemer. No matter what Job experienced, his hope was in God. God is his Redeemer and the God who would redeem him. And of course, that hope became a reality, or took on flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus. In the Gospels, the concept of hope doesn't seem to appear, but of course, with the coming of Christ, the hope of Israel, the hope of all the promises of God, was going to be fulfilled in him. After Jesus' resurrection on the road to Emmaus, the disciples tell the strange man, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." He was. He is. Their hope was realized after they came to realize that they'd been speaking to the resurrected Jesus. Our hope is, Christian hope is not wishful thinking. Christian hope is not positive thinking. It's not about us whipping ourselves up. It is built on the foundation of the life, death, resurrection, ascension, rule, and return of Jesus. That's the Christian hope. It makes it certain, makes it sure, because God does not lie. And those who hope in God will not be disappointed. And that is the theme throughout the rest of the New Testament. Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice that our hope is a living hope because it is in a living person, Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered death and the one who will banish death when he returns. It is out of this living hope that faith and love grows and matures. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, Paul acknowledges that their faith and their love comes out of this hope of the future. As he writes in Galatians chapter 1, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel." Our hope is certain in Christ. Our hope is stored up for us in heaven where Christ is. Our hope is that we will be resurrected as Christ was resurrected. Our hope is that we will see God. Our hope is that there is a world coming without sin, without death, and without disease. Hope shapes the way that we live. Hope shapes the reason why we live the way we live. As 1 John tells us, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purifies themselves just as he is pure." So this hope should shape us. Those who hope in Christ, those who hope Christ will return to judge the living and the dead, will seek to live like Jesus. How do we do that in this world, where there's, at the moment, the world is gripped by fear, uncertainty? Do we simply follow the stream, or do we allow this hope that we have to mold us and shape us and transform us so that we can be like Jesus to those around us? We as God's people must never be ruled by fear, but by faith. But in so doing, we must always express our love for God and our love for our neighbour. Because in a world that is simply wishful thinking and positive thinking, it's not going to work. In Paul's world of the first century, they had no hope. One could only face death without regret or fear, but there was no hope. An inscription on an ancient tomb highlights this sort of philosophy. This is what's inscripted, and I quote, "I am of good courage. I who was not and became and now am not." It's pretty stoic, so I'm just going to face life as it is. I once didn't exist, I now exist, and I no longer exist. That's it. It's a very basic stoic outlook. There was no God who created him, there was no God who redeemed him, and there was no God who gave him a future. Here is a man who dies without hope. Today, where is our hope? Could be in the politicians. Not sure if that's very hopeful. Hopeful, we could be hoping the best through our medical advisors. For the Christian, our hope is in Christ. We do not need to be afraid. But we do need to allow this hope to transform us so that we can care for others. Life for so many people is becoming miserable and sad, and there's anxiety because of the coronavirus. People are just behaving in ways that are disappointing. I heard just recently about a group of people hiring a bus and going to rural New South Wales and basically stripping the store of all their goods. Which, of course, what happens to that small town? They've got nothing left. It expresses our selfishness. We're human locusts going out to these rural areas. And our society really doesn't have hope. I mean, currently there is a movement in our world that wants to embrace death, as if death is some sort of hope, as if death is an escape or release from pain and suffering. Is that the only hope people have? We as God's people can give people hope today as we share the gospel in word and works. The Apostle Paul encouraged us by saying, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We have hope, a sure and certain hope. This means that Christians are not ruled by fear but by faith in the resurrected Jesus. This hope means that we will not hoard toilet paper, but we are the ones that will actually share it. We are not the ones who are going to be fighting others in the supermarket. We are going to share. We are going to seek out our neighbours who are maybe isolated or lonely or elderly that may have been forgotten, and we will share. We are not going to allow fear to reign, to rule over us and in our relationships. We're going to allow faith and hope to rule and shape us so we can have hope. So God's word encourages us to hope in a God whose character can be trusted. He does not lie. He will not disappoint. He has acted for our world in and through his Son. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, and see what we can offer to those around us when we offer them the hope of the gospel. In these verses, I would like to see that we, as we embrace the gospel by faith, we actually receive three benefits. Three benefits that we can actually share with others. One, we have been justified by faith as a past experience. Two, we have peace and access to God through Christ as a present experience. And three, we have a future hope. Now, Paul in Romans has been dealing with righteousness and just judgment and justification. He's shown us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. He's shown us that God graciously acted for our redemption and salvation through Christ. Christ has come to save us from the power of sin, the dominion of sin, from judgment, from the fear of death. All this has taken place through Christ. And as we share the gospel, we're declaring to those who believe in Christ that they are now justified before God by faith in Christ. As Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," justification means that we've been accepted through Christ by God. We are now members of God's family. This is a wonderful truth. That means our acceptance is not based on our character, our achievements, our works, our position in the world, the type of work we do, the level of our intelligence, or how much money you have. Justification or acceptance is by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. Paul says those who believe in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come in Christ. What a wonderful message to share with people who may feel unaccepted or rejected, that in Christ they are accepted by God. But also that because they have been accepted by God through Christ, they now have peace with God and access to God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So peace with God comes through the atoning sacrifice of Christ. As we are justified, accepted by God through Christ, we have peace with God. He's no longer angry with us. We have now access into God's presence. We have a new relationship with God. We are no longer enemies but children. We are no longer sinners but saints. We are no longer under his judgment, but we have been acquitted. He's no longer our judge, but our Father. And all because of Christ. What a wonderful message we have. In a world that is afraid, we can have peace with God that allows us to have peace. with what's ever happening in the world, because we know that God rules and reigns. This access that we have also is into the grace that God makes available to us, so we can live in such a way that we can honor Him. All that we experience, all the benefits that we have, comes to us because of grace freely given to us because of what Christ has done. So as you share the gospel in your words and in your works, as you relate to people, as you respond to this crisis, as people of hope, you may be able to give people hope through the gospel. A certain hope that they will be reconciled to God, that they will be justified by God, that they will have peace with God, that they will have access to grace, but also that they will have a future. As God's word says in Romans 5, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame or does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We boast or rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What does that mean? So for the Christian, our ultimate hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that not only will we be resurrected, but that we will see God face to face. That's our future. We will delight in that. We will be ravished by that. We will be intoxicated by that in the presence of God. We will behold the glory of God, and more so we will share in that glory because of Christ. What a glorious future we have. Nothing can take that away. Not even death. And this hope transforms our trials and our tribulations. That means whatever we may be going through grace, God uses it to transform us into the image of His Son. We can look at all the things that are happening around us. We can either enter into the panic, or we can see God's sovereignty and realize that He's using this to shape us, maybe to correct us, to rebuke us, to encourage us and make us more like Jesus. It's how we see things. We can glory or rejoice not in our suffering in itself, but in knowing that our suffering can be used by God for His purposes for us. That God has a goal for our suffering that brings glory to Him and is for our good. As Paul says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. It produces something. And as we go through this crisis with the rest of the community, this crisis can be used by God to shape us into being more and more like Jesus. It can make the gospel attractive to those around us. As they live in fear, we can live in faith. And maybe as they see us living in faith, that may encourage them to ask the question, why are you not afraid? Whatever we might be experiencing through this crisis reminds us that this is not all there is. That this world is not the best it's ever going to get. This crisis can be used by God to give us a perspective on life and death and on what truly is valuable. Yes, this hope is in one sense a supernatural hope, because it's not produced by us, it's not by positive thinking, not by wishful thinking. It's given to us by the Holy Spirit, who's poured out God's love into our hearts. And there's another motivation to share the gospel, so people can experience that love. As you share the gospel, people who feel unloved and unlovable can know that God loves them. And this love can give them hope. Hope that God does have something better for them. A hope that will never disappoint, a hope that will never make them ashamed, a hope that will be like an anchor in a storming world, hope that they can actually build their life on. Because it's actually built on the work and person of the Lord Jesus. All our trials and tribulations we may experience may be opportunities for us to exercise hope, so that others around us may ask us about that hope we have. As the Apostle Peter said, but in your hearts reveal Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, and to do this with gentleness and respect. So do you have hope? Is your hope grounded in the Lord Jesus? Or is it simply wishful thinking? Being positive, just saying, well, I hope things will get better. Wow, that's going to really work, isn't it? How does that strengthen you? How does that shape you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and be able to deal with the people around you? As you share the gospel in word and action, as you live out the gospel of hope, you may be offering people hope. Hope in a God who out of love sent Jesus to die for sinners. You are offering hope that they will be, because of Christ, accepted by God. That they will receive the peace of God. That they will have access to grace that will enable them to keep living in a way that honours God. And that one day they will rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is the hope that never disappoints. This is the hope that we can offer to the world in the midst of this crisis, this pandemic, which is causing many people to panic. Let us as God's people live by faith, grounded in the personal work of Christ, and not in fear. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that our hope is in Christ. We thank you that he has conquered the worst that can be conquered, and that is death. That in Christ there is eternal life. That is our hope. As we go out into the world, as we seek to continue to live in our communities, we do ask, Lord, that we will live as men and women of hope, men and women that want to point others to your Son, the Lord Jesus, as the Saviour of hope. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.